Open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. If you pay any attention at all to things in what's happening in the country, of course, it's a mess anymore. In Washington, you have half on one side, half on the other, and one half can't ever do anything right. One half can't ever do anything but wrong, and it gets ridiculous sometimes when you get looking at it. Yesterday, I watched. I got a chance to watch most of the movie. I hadn't seen it, the Titanic, and I'd never seen it, but. In watching the movie, I understand that a lot of it was fabricated or a lot of it was just made up to be a love story in that movie. But there was one part of it that was true. When the ship began to sink and was sinking, the band was playing and people was in there eating and drinking and carrying on, not realizing that the ship was going down. They believed one thing. They believed at the time when they were in there that they were sitting inside of an unsinkable ship. But just because someone believes something be true does not make it true. Our forefathers years ago came to this nation and they made a document that concerned the rights from the creator of the universe. And they realize that we get our rights from him, not politicians that would vote. They said this. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's a reason why countries like Russia and China, Cuba, North Korea does not have immigrant problems. They don't have people trying their way, every way possible, to come into their country. They try to come into our country because they want the American dream. America has been made great because of the fact of our forefathers and truths that they held and helped found this country on. In Isaiah chapter 59, the previous chapter, there was certain truths, there were certain things that the nation of Israel had been founded upon that was corrupting. They were going down. They could not understand what was happening. If you begin reading with me in chapter 59, Isaiah says this. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. They begin to ask the question and they begin to want to know, could not God fix the problems that was going on? You look around, you see all kinds of problems. Let me say this. There's two main things going on right now in this country that gets a lot of noise at this week. One is the immigrants and separating sometimes. They're coming and they're putting children aside until they can deal with those trying to come in the country and turn them away and get them reunited. And they make all these sob stories. Most of those children are being treated better than they've ever been treated in their life. The second thing is, you know, they use one example in New York of this pizza guy that went to the military base to deliver pizza, and he'd been caught and he'd been ordered to go out of the country 8 or 9 years ago. They're making all this sob story because now he's married and got children. However, he was driving on no license. He was driving with no insurance. Had he hit you, you would have lost everything that you had. There is a right way of doing things. There's a wrong way. If we don't have laws in this country, we'll never establish anything. We have to have laws. Amen. I don't like them. When I see blue lights behind me, if I happen to be speeding, I don't like the fact that I got a paid ticket. But if I choose to go above the speed limit, I know what it is. It's not the officer's fault that's writing me ticket. It's my fault. I choose. If we didn't have traffic laws out there, can you imagine what people would do? Sometimes on cruise weekends, I go out there, especially some of these young kids in these fast cars, they're driving like idiots out there. And I don't even like to be in the midst of them sometimes. And they get going up and doing different things. I decide I'll park my car somewhere else. I don't want to be around them. But the point is this. Can you imagine what the highway would be if we didn't have laws and someone to enforce the laws? The other thing that we get is we get all this idea about all these investigations and these reports. I think it's comical in one sense, and it's sad in another. They'll list five or six felonies that Secretary Clinton committed, and yet you and I committed five felonies, I know where we would be. They do a 500-page report and tell of all this stuff that went on, and then they end up, well, there was no prejudice or no bias, which is ridiculous. Even the second grade kid could have read the report and got more than that out of it. What happens is this, and I'm getting to a point, if you'll stay with me, when truth goes out the window, you lose the ability to have justice and judgment. Our country is getting where people can't be judged. It's stupid. I'll use the word stupid to turn criminals out back in the street. I wrote this. Some of you may or may not recognize this name. Arthur, I believe his name is Schwarzmiller. Anybody ever hear of him? Probably listed as the most offensive pedophile in the country. When they raided his home, they found notebooks. He had over 36,000 boys that he had molested listed. He had listed in categories: blonde boys, fun boys, boys that said no, that fought hard. Had all kinds of categories in which he would list. The amazing thing is, he'd been arrested 9 times for molesting boys before they found him this time. Where is the justice? You can't take, and I understand there are some things that, there are some things that's gone just the opposite way. People that's got sentenced, that the sentence has not been fair at all. There are some people that's got to be put away from society, got to be dealt with. If not, it's going to be a sad situation. In Isaiah's time here, they had all kinds of violence, they had all kinds of issues, and things that they used to have, the way it used to be, the way their fathers and grandfathers remembered it, and the way they were safe walking on the streets, it was no longer that way. Things had changed. It had gotten plumb crazy, the way that people was doing and what was happening. And they were asking, everybody was asking, where's God? Has God's hand shortened that he can't help us? And so therefore, in verse number 1, Isaiah says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it can't hear. Because they were saying, we keep praying and he don't hear what we're saying. But yet David said in Psalm 66, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Verse number 2. In verse number 2, he tells the reason. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. A lot of what's going on to America, people said, how in the world we got there? Why isn't God intervening in some of these things? Well, it's because we continue doing what we're doing. And our sins have separated us from God. Look in verse 3 and 4. He goes on, he talks about the situation. He said, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Now let me say this. When we kill a million innocent babies every year in the womb before they ever have a chance to have life.
That's right.
And don't give me this sob story about people being raped and having children. Out of all those millions, you could probably hold up on just one hand how many was actually raped and had children that was raped. Now, those who have, I feel sorry for that situation. I don't want to demean it in any way. But that's not the majority of what's going on. The majority of what's going on is convenience of killing a baby to add freedoms and liberties to someone that got themselves in a situation. Now, and so therefore, I don't believe there's any more innocent blood that you can shed than to shed innocent blood of a baby in a womb. It has no rights, or it has no rights, opportunity to voice its rights, because it's not to the ability. And so therefore, it's up to us to protect its rights for it. Verse number 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and they bring forth iniquity. In other words, he says, you know, they live, they kill, and they do all these things, and they're not looking to change it. You know, it's bad when we get where we consider a evil norm. That's what happened to Lot in Sodom. He got used to seeing all that wickedness, and it just come everyday thing. How many of you remember when we didn't open the papers and read the things that we read today in the papers? When we did, it was one of an unusual situation that happened every now and then. Now every day, just about, there's something shock you. You turn the TV on. Chris told me, I didn't get the full gist of it, of some woman that did something with her children. What was it? Five kids and did some of them die? Some of them die? No, I thought there was something else that you was telling me about, but maybe I was wrong. But anyway, the point being is that we've got where we're not even shocked anymore. We've just gotten used to it. Something constant all the time around us. Look, verse number 5. He said, thy hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are of violence, is in their hands. Now, what he's saying is this. He says, now, what they're doing is they've rejected truth. They don't want to hear what truth. They want to hear the truth of the matter. You know, one thing I'll say about President Trump, I'll say this, you can like him or not like him. Sometimes he said things that just kind of runs up and down me, and I know his past is. But I really believe he's trying to change some things in America. I believe he's trying to get some things back. Sometimes he has ways of doing it, but a lot of them are being effective. But I appreciate the fact that he is saying certain things and willing to do certain things, even though all this political on both sides of the aisle jumps up and whines and carries on, and they don't want to change the status quo. I am glad that somebody finally, because I barked about it for years, has got smart enough to quit giving all of our enemies all these millions and billions of dollars to build up their military. Right. That's the stupidest thing I ever saw in my life.
Right.
And yet they jump up on both sides and whine because of it, and because they've created a mess up in Washington, and the mess survives because of our tax dollars, where it's wasted all the time on both sides of the aisle, and they just continue to just give it out like it's free. And those who's working and paying in gets tired of it. And then, it's a funny thing, we go to the hospital, we have to pay bills, we do this, we have to pay bills, people come in here illegally and everything's paid for. Something ain't right with that picture. But anyway, getting back away from that, He said, this is what's happening. He said, you should be eating of eggs. They should be profitable for you. But he said, but when you reject truth, whatever you're eating, regardless of how good of intention you got, when you're not dealing with truth of it, and you're not facing the facts of it, and you're not willing to look at the truth, he said, the eggs is going to turn like vipers. If you eat them, they're not going to do you any good. They're going to be like poison. If you crack them open and you try to destroy them, they're going to have snakes in them. And he said that those spider webs, they're not going to cover you. It's not going to do like silk. It's not going to be prosperous for you. You can't cover yourself because of what you're doing, and because God has rejected it, you have rejected truth, and anything you do, it will not make it right, and it will not make it prosperous. So therefore, they had taken that. And so Isaiah was telling them, God, it's not that he's not able to do certain things, and it's not that he's not able to hear you, but he's not hearing you because of these things you're doing. Look on, if you would, in verse 7, 8. He said, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And people said, well, why can't we just have any peace anymore? Because you can't have peace unless you deal with it in truth. If you listen, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or whoever you may be, if you can't look at a matter and say what's right and what's wrong and what's truth in it, there ain't much to you. And listen, it's not worth the partisans, being a partisan. You say, well, my grandpa was always this, so I'm always with them 100%. Well, you're a fool. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. There are certain things you got to look at and say, that's right. And yes, they should be, listen, if they commit crimes, they ought to be in prison just like they put you in prison. That's the way I look at it. But anyway, getting on beyond that, I didn't mean get off on all that, but, and we'll throw it in free. But look, if you would, in verse 9, he changes them, they, and those, Isaiah does, to we and us and all this. He said, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does judgment overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday in the night and are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. Now you get that? He said, now look, he said, what we're doing is this. He said, we've gotten used to it. We whine, complain, and said, we walk in light, and it's like darkness. And said, we just grab a wall trying to figure out what's going on, and we're trying to figure all these things out, why all this is happening, and we can't see it because we're not looking to see the right truth about it. And so we got to face the truth. And so here, Isaiah said, you're sitting here and said, we have got ourselves in this mess. We have done this to ourselves. And he goes on, he says, and because we have done that, in verse number 11, he said, we look for judgment, and there is none. You look and you say, well, surely they're going to get their judgment. But they don't ever seem to be no judgment. And it seems to be ignored. Sometimes it's not what's right, it's who you know and how much you got. And that's a sad way of being. Salvation, but it is far from us. Verse number 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us as iniquities, we know them, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. He said, these are things that we're doing. Then verse 14, this is where I want to just get a thought real quick, and I'm going to close. He said, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. In other words, he says, truth has fallen. You're not holding it up. You're not looking at truth, and therefore, nothing you're doing is turning out right. Now, notice this just a minute. Let me share a story with you, and then I'm going to give you three thoughts, and it's not going to take but just a moment. But I want to share this story about one of our presidents. James Garfield, most of you know, if you've studied history, you know he was one that died in office. He was a lay preacher. He's also principal of Christian College. In 1880, he was elected president, yet he served only 6 months. There was a lawyer named Charles Guiteau. I believe is how you pronounce it. I may mispronounce his name. It's got a French type. But he was infuriated because he applied an application to be ambassador to France. And he was denied. So he said he believed that God wanted him to kill the president. And so what he did was he began to stalk him several days, and he got him at a railroad, Washington Railroad Depot, in July 2nd, 1881, and he shot him twice. He grazed his arm, and another one went into his body, another bullet. Well, they grabbed Garfield up, and they took him to the White House. And then they got 16 doctors that began to make a consensus on what to do. I found it interesting. The first doctor that tried to treat him, his name was William Bliss. The first thing he did, even though at that time they had talked about sterilization, but they wasn't practicing very well, so the first thing he did was stuck his unsterile finger into the bullet wound of Garfield to see if he could feel the bullet. And he not only stuck an unsterile finger, he stuck an unsterile instrument. And he couldn't find the bullet. And so what happened was he kind of concluded that it must have penetrated the liver because it was going toward the liver, they thought. And so therefore they thought he would die soon, but he didn't. Then the army surgeon, he stuck his unwashed finger and dug deep. Then a Navy surgeon came and he stuck his unwashed finger in him and pushed real deep, and he actually punctured the liver of Garfield, President Garfield. And so when he did, they declared that he would die within 24 hours. Well, he didn't. Then Alexander the Grand Bell, he created a metal detector. He rigged one up and decided he would detect where that bullet was because they couldn't find the bullet in President Garfield. And so they run it over him 2 or 3 times, made 2 or 3 swipes, and all of a sudden they found what they thought was a bullet. And so they decided to cut him open. And when they cut him open, he started with a little 3-inch wound, and he ended up with a 20-inch. One that was full of blood poisoning and infection. And by the way, the bullet that Alexander's Grand Bell's metal detector thought he found was a spring in the bed. Finally, because of the infection and blood poisoning and everything, President Garfield died of a massive heart attack. And so he died, and when they did autopsy, they found that the bullet had actually stopped 4 inches from his spine. Had everybody just left him alone, he would have been fine. But they went about to try to treat it. And even though I'm sure all 16 doctors were sincere, by their actions, they killed him. Now, everybody's trying to fix the problem. But by the action, they're destroying things. Truth is the only thing that will stand. The Bible says, buy truth and sell it not. Now, let me give you these three, and I'm just going to give them to you, and I'm going to close right here. Truth never dies. Now, listen to me. You won't close your eyes to hell. Hell will be real when you die. Just because you want to try to change the truth with all the best intentions of the world, hell will be just as hot and real as God said it was. Truth does not die. Whatever is truth is going to be there. And you can run from truth, you can hide truth, you can change truth, and all truth. The Bible says here that truth had fallen down in the road. What it was doing is causing roadblock. Everything they were trying to do, they were trying to avoid it and do it without truth and facing the truth. And everything that they were trying to do was end up being a mess. Because truth doesn't change. Not only that, but also truth, as Brother Junior said this morning, truth needs your help. Our job, the church, is called the pillar and ground of what? You know why? Our job is to proclaim what? Thy word is truth, and the truth shall. Only way people get set free is by truth. But truth needs us. We are commissioned to preach truth. You are commissioned to preach the truth. You are commissioned to tell the truth and to deal with the truth. In other words, it's your job and my job to do this. When something ain't right over there, be able to say what truth is. You say, well, boy, they all jump on you. I tell you what. I'll say this, and I know you think but the president has got big shoulders. Man, everybody jumps on him all the time. And yet he just stands. I admire him for that. Some things I don't admire him for, but I do admire that part of it. Now, the last part is this. Now, stay with me here, and I'm closing. John 14:6 says this. I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now listen to me. I'm going to close this. Without the truth, there is no way. You can't go without truth. When we lose the truth, when it goes down to the road, and we quit holding it up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. But where there is no truth, there is no way. And where there is no way, there is no life. People are dying, going to hell by the groves, thinking that what they think is right, ignoring and deviating from truth, thinking that their way will find them eternal life. There is no way and no life without truth. Therefore, we must stand with truth. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here. God's dealing with your heart. You need to come. Maybe you've not been saved. I'm going to tell you this. If you've not been saved, there's only one way of being saved, and that's coming, putting your faith and trust in Christ. Would you do that this morning? Believing in your heart. You say, preacher, I'm going to measure myself up. No, you'll be just like those of Israel. He said, listen, you can take those spider webs, that silk, you can try spinning into a garment, but it won't cover you. Not before God. You've got to put your faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Maybe you need to come this morning. Would you come as we stand?